I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
I'm going to give the audience what I think they want.
They want chase scenes and car crashes.
They want the cops to bend the rules to get the job done. They want the boy to get the girl. They want the good guy to win. They want the bad guy to die, hopefully in the biggest explosion the budget will allow. But most importantly, Senator, they want to walk into a theater and for 90 minutes forget the fucking mess that you have left of this nation.
Go get your bubblegum.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to All Out of Bubblegum, the podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about two of the best action movies I've ever seen. So, of course, Brandon won't like them. no, Predator and Predator 2. So with me, we have, of course, Brandon and Marty.
Hello.
Brandon, you son of a bitch.
That's me. I'm only here for the good ones.
Yeah. And these are two good ones. Yes.
Yeah, I love these movies. Especially the first one. This is one of my early, I guess, introductions to action movies in general. It's probably the first Arnold Schwarzenegger movie I ever saw was Predator. And I think I saw it about 89, 90. Ooh. So he was about, like, he was big then, but it was like he was about to blow up huge to people my age at the time, which was in Terminator 2, where he was just like just this huge legend at that point. But he was already, I saw this and I immediately was like, who the fuck is that, you know?
Yeah. And the other movie we're going to be talking about is its sequel, Predator 2.
Yeah. And also, love that movie personally.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of I think it suffered from people really wanting Arnold back. But, and I guess it does miss him a bit. But anyways, it's still, I think it's a banger movie. Solid sequel, and Stephen Hopkins, as I really, really love to repeat, is a vastly underrated director.
Yes.
But we'll talk about Predator, which is directed by John McTiernan, who I think is a vastly overrated director.
Oh, I agree.
I don't know. I think Die Hard 3 is pretty good.
Yeah, well, Die Hard and Die Hard 3 are both excellent.
Yeah, but I don't think they're as good as people say.
Yeah, well, I think that they... their worth is maybe overstated, but they're excellent action films regardless.
Yeah, I mean they're good, yes. But I don't hold them in as high regard as the consensus.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I get that because mm-hmm. a lot of people think I've always heard it, and I'm one of the people that stupidly won't keep my mouth shut about it. But people will say Die Hard is the greatest action movie of all time, and I'm like, no, it's not.
No.
I think Predator is a better action movie, and there's only like one real action sequence in the whole movie.
Yeah.
But with enough explosions for an entire trilogy.
Yeah. But again, so Predator is just one of those excellent movies where it's like, oh, it's this great mishmash. Like, you know, it's G.I. Joe, but with an alien, you know, like, coming in stalking everybody. And I love that. But it's like the thing that people probably remember this most for is that big old action sequence at the front of the film. And mm-hmm. it is, that's like all Craig Baxley. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember you told me or told us that in like a previous episode. And so this time I was really paying attention to it. And holy shit, can you tell?
Yeah.
This was definitely the guy who also did the A-Team.
Yep.
Yes. It's got like the shots of the people like, flying over the camera's looking straight up. It's got like the people flying right in front of the camera. It's the A-Team except R-rated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what the A-Team could have been. And it's really funny if you listen to the commentary because McTiernan is on there going like, this is just too much. This is too much.
You know? No, that's why he's overrated.
Yeah. Well, so he excels at something. He does excel at something, which is, he's very good with suspense and that thriller energy. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes Die Hard work a lot of the time. And that is definitely what makes the back half of this movie work for me. I see, I'm guessing you're not into that part probably, but because it's a little, it's Beowulf, basically. It's like, okay, we're like stripping our weapons off and all this stuff, and then it's down to like something primal, and it's just a guy fighting a big other guy.
I think
an alien.
So interesting that you mentioned Beowulf, because that one image of Schwarzenegger with the torch yelling, I was like, that looks like it's from 13th Warrior.
Oh. Which he also did.
Which is basically McTiernan's real life version of Beowulf or something, or reinterpretation.
Yeah, well, that's the book. It's based on the book. Well, I guess we should probably say that he didn't really direct it. Like, he was directing it, and then he got fired, and then Michael Crichton came and directed the rest of that movie. But that's based off of Michael Crichton's book, Eaters of the Dead, which the whole point is to be like, what if there was a real story that Beowulf came from?
Yeah.
And the idea was like, oh, they're not like monsters, whatever. They're like Neanderthals that live, they're existing still.
Yeah, way more realistic and logical.
Yeah, I guess. But I happen to love that movie too, so whatever. It's a movie that really exists in the shadow of Predator, where it's like, oh, it's trying to be so fucking macho and awesome, like Vikings, rawr, yeah. And you're like, wow, Predator still did it better.
Yeah,
like, I don't even know if they did it on purpose. This movie is so fucking macho, ridiculous, just red meat all through and through.
Yeah, it does remind me of Commando, and like, it's kind of like almost like a stealth parody of the action genre, with like the homoeroticism and the over-the-top action and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's so crazy because you have somebody like Schwarzenegger heading it, and then you have Sonny Landham and, you know, Jesse the Body Ventura. You're just like, holy shit. You know, these guys that are just like over the top naturally, and now you've got a fucking movie with all these guys.
Yeah.
I think the only movie I've seen kind of compare... it's like Tombstone, maybe.
Oh.
Where it's like, that's ridiculously macho as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not the same kind of macho.
It's a little different. But
that's rugged man macho, and this is steroid man macho. And Bill Duke.
Oh, yeah, Bill Duke and Carl Weathers, yeah.
So another movie where it's like, this is the first time I ever saw Bill Duke and something. And I was like, that is the coolest guy I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Even though he plays a guy who just loses his cool.
Oh, he gives the best performance of the movie, I think.
Well, he has to, because he isn't built like a brick shithouse. So he has to have something. No,
he's just a big dude.
Yeah.
He
has to go crazy.
Yeah. I can't believe how ridiculous this movie is, though. It's like, it does, what's that Kubrick film? The Vietnam movie.
Oh, Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah. It's kind of doing that, where they spend the opening however much time, the part that everybody seems to like, just being like, we're creating the most badass people ever. And then the rest of the movie is just watching them get taken apart. except in this one, it's like, oh, it's a fucking alien with insane technology. And in that, it's like a little girl with a sniper rifle just takes out this entire platoon.
Yeah,
it's Commando, but it's also sort of like Friday the 13th.
Ooh. Yeah.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger being the final girl.
Well, that's one of the things that's great about it. It's like, oh, you take arguably the greatest action star of the era, and you've got to commend Arnold for agreeing to this, and then be like, no, you take everything away from him, everything that made him cool. It's like, no, by the end of it, it's like, it's literally... he doesn't have his guns anymore. He's scared. That's the thing that he gets to play in this movie. He gets to play terrified, which is really cool. Whenever you see Arnold with his eyes all wide, like, what the fuck? That's great. Like, the psychological effect of that. But then he's cool-headed about it, like the final girl would be, and kind of like thinks it through and goes, I can take him. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for him to do this, by the way, because at the point at the end of the movie, he could have easily just slipped away, no weapons, and gotten to the chopper and gotten the hell out of there.
Yeah.
But instead he's like, no, I'm going to stand up and fight this thing. And it's fucking awesome.
His manly code of honor. Avenge his brothers.
Yeah.
What's funny, though, is that like they do this image of him you know, the smoke clearing and he's standing there and it's kind of somber with the music, but it's also like he did it. And then the next thing you see is just like he's just completely traumatized and and wrecked at the end of this. And then they do the Dirty Dozen thing with the cast. And I'm like, that's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
They're just flipping through the cast and everybody's like laughing again. And you're like, what the fuck?
Wasn't that a good time? The time we all got slaughtered by an alien from outer space.
It's also just funny to see these guys, these big, muscular, tough guys just smiling one by one.
Yeah.
Having a great time in the jungle.
Yeah. Which apparently they didn't.
Yeah. Apparently they were shitting their guts out most of the time. Yeah.
Except for Schwarzenegger, who brought his own chef.
Yep.
Oh.
And his own food.
Yep, that's the it's the way of the star, being a star. Can I have some of that? No.
No.
Yeah, he got married during the making of this, which is pretty funny. Apparently, Maria Shriver was pissed because he's wearing that military haircut in the wedding and stuff.
Yeah, well, that was probably during the gap in filming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, probably. Right? Yeah, I guess that's the other thing about this is that they had a big, stupid rubber alien that sucked. It was played by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard about this, yeah.
Have you seen the footage?
Yes.
Brendan?
In fact.
I think I have, but it's been a long time.
Okay, yeah.
In fact, I would say if you really wanted to, you could probably do like a small kill count video, because every time somebody's getting killed in this, it's actually Van Damme killing them.
Really?
Like every time. If you go through the footage, it's always him in that stupid red suit that they were wearing, that he was wearing, that they were going to like rotoscope something onto it, I think. But there are shots of him wearing the full like lizard suit, but mostly not. But down to killing Carl Weathers. You can find clips of him, and he's just in like a white like anti-thermal jacket or something. He's wearing the arm that's lifting Dylan into the air.
Mm.
Like that's Van Damme doing that.
Oh.
I didn't know that part.
Understood it as he spent like 5 days on set and then he was gone.
Yeah, I think people are like understating how much time he did. Or he actually completed all the kill scenes somehow.
Mm. Well, maybe.
Or he quit. It's like up in the air, which one of those things happens.
Maybe he wasn't required to wear the full stupid costume for the kill scenes.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And also the reason why he quit is sort of like up in the air. Did he quit because his face wasn't going to be shown? Did he quit because he thought the actual creature would be all red? Or he just thought it looked stupid, it was too warm? There's no real consensus on it.
Yeah, it's he says they wanted him to do stuff that he said would get him hurt because all the ground wasn't level and all this stuff. And he was like, they were like, we want you to do this, like flip off of a fallen tree onto the ground. And he's like, no, you'll break your ankles doing that.
Mm, that does make sense.
And supposedly they brought in, after like he quit, and they brought somebody else in that did the flip and broke their ankle. And then he heard about it and he was like, ha, I told you.
Revenge. But they did finally settle on Kevin Peter Hall, who is fantastic.
Yeah. No, he's amazing. I love the way he moves. It's just, it's sometimes he's big and clunky, but he does have like a great, especially during the fight at the end, like his, just a great like performance energy there where he spreads his arms out and he's just doing the roar thing. And you're like, oh yeah. Just like the way he's kind of like circling Arnold around. It's like, that's cool.
Yeah. But I think he was, so they decided to stop filming about, I don't know, halfway through because they didn't like the alien design.
Yeah.
And there was a big gap in shooting. And then they came back with the new design by Stan Winston, inspired partially by Jim Cameron. Like Jim Cameron saying, I want to see something with mandibles. Not that it was based off of Jim Cameron. But and then he came back, and at that point, Kevin Peter Hall was brought in because that guy's just fucking huge.
Yeah.
And he had to look intimidating next to all these also huge men.
Yeah, well, they got a dude that I can't remember. He's like 7 foot 5'2" or something like that. Very, very, very tall, but thin enough to where he could put a suit on with layers and make him look bulky. And he moved really well because I guess he had like a background in dance or something.
Mm.
And you gotta, I've always loved the design of the Predator. I think that I like Prey as well, the movie Prey, but I think Prey kind of drops the ball a little bit on the design of the Predator. Oh. But other than that, I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good.
I don't remember this one, what it looked like in Prey, but I just remember...
Oh, it's just kind of cheap.
I just remember an AVP, like instead of somebody like Kevin Peter Hall, who's just really thin, athletic, but tall, they just have like wrestlers, it seems like.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
They're all just these super wide muscled dudes in Predator outfits. And it somehow doesn't work, even though it is sort of intimidating, but at the same time, it isn't. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, that's how I feel about the AVP ones, where I'm like, there's something wrong about it.
Yeah. Only one thing, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Just one. No, the, I think Prey, the issue is really like just CG. Like they had a pretty good, like on set version, and then they decided to CG over it. And I was like, it kind of looks like crap.
Mm. Yeah, they do that nowadays.
Yeah. So you're not surprised.
No. I did like Prey, though, I have to say.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I think Prey is excellent.
Yeah. And I like the Predators with Adrian Brody as well. So
I think Predators is better than you would expect.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one, so I'll put it on my watch list. Along with Alien versus Predator. That sounds delightfully terrible. So
That's more up your alley.
Okay.
So in Predator, though, I think even though it's fun, it's got its action, and it's got that monster movie thing going on the back end, especially, it's... To me, I think the real thrill is actually just watching these different guys be as terribly goofy macho as possible.
Yeah, that's a big part of the appeal. Something that Predator 2 is kind of lacking a little bit. I mean, Predator 2, still a good movie, but it doesn't really have that team dynamic that the first one has, which makes it like an excellent movie.
I think that it's like, it's kind of too bad in a way because it starts out like it's going to be a team movie because they've got a great cast. You know, Marie Conchita Alonso and Bill Paxton and what is the guy from Blade?
Ruben Blades.
Yeah. And it's like, yes, how awesome. These guys are great. And then they just kind of kill them off and they kind of use it for dramatic texture rather than, I don't know, like that team effort thing that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know if the movie needs, well, maybe, I don't know if it needs the drama more than the fun of that, but I guess when in the beginning of the movie, I'm still enjoying all the teams, so whatever.
Well, they're less confined in the sequel, so of course they're gonna more go their separate ways.
Yeah.
So I don't mind it. But like in the first one, they have to stay together and be a team because there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love the team aspect of the first Predator movie, and that's kind of one reason why I have some reservations about this movie. I still think it's excellent. Don't get me wrong. I love Predator. Great film. But as like the team starts to dwindle down towards the end, I think it loses something for me because I like the banter between them. I like the hilarious homoeroticism and the all the great one-liners. And by the end of the movie, it's just Arnold Schwarzenegger by himself crawling in mud and getting in blackface. It's not really having anybody to talk to except himself. And it's just not the same. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still love this movie, but each act is a little different, and the final act is probably the weakest part for me, maybe.
I don't know about the blackface thing, but...
I was just trying to be goofy. Yeah, it's not real blackface.
Well, for those who haven't seen Predator, there is a part at the end where he starts singing Mammy.
Mammy.
Yeah. No, it's... I'm terribly into the part, the second the ending battle, because I love how there's no dialogue.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
They actually had, I've seen the deleted scenes where he is talking and he's like explaining what's happening and it sucks.
I believe that. Yeah.
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 There's a part, it's like predators shooting at him, and he's like jumping over trees and fallen trees and stuff and trying to like dodge it, and then he's like, he's playing with me. It's terrible to keep that out of there.
There's still two lines of that order in the film, and I think those two lines might be the worst part of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which ones?
He didn't see me.
When he, yeah, it couldn't see me, and when he says,
"Oh yeah,
bleed, you bastard."
Yeah, I think the bleed, you bastard, is even ADR. It's weird. It's like somebody was like, "He's not saying anything. We're paying him this much money. You make him say something."
Could be, yeah.
But he, I guess he also says, "Oh shit."
Yeah.
When he goes off over the cliff.
Yeah, but that's something everybody's gonna say when they go off a cliff.
Yeah, they do a fun reference of that in the X-Files movie, the first one, where Mulder says he's sliding down a hill.
Oh.
The action-packed X-Files movie.
That's the one.
Okay. A great movie, too.
I haven't seen it.
They do a little Oklahoma City bombing thing at the beginning of that.
Oh, sounds like fun.
Yeah.
It's fun for the whole family. But yeah, this is just... I think when they finally reveal the Predator, as I was like, when I was a kid, I saw that and I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And it's like, I feel like that kind of thing is missing when everything is just a computer imagery. Cause when it's like, oh, there's something like tangible and tactile about it. And you're not even sure what he's doing. Like he's taking the little aerosol things off of his face and then he pulls the mask off and you're just like, what the fuck is this? You know, it's just wild.
Yeah, and then he sets off an atomic bomb that turns like the whole landscape into Hamburger Hill. That's a memorable part.
Oh yeah, the dude who voiced Optimus Prime gets to do a little voice for the Predator at the end there. I was like, that's cool.
Peter Cullen.
His Vincent Price laugh.
Yeah.
No, this movie is one big metaphor for global warming.
Yes.
Because it's really fucking hot and they kill the forest.
Yeah. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah. Is this movie set in Val Verde? Is that just a rumor?
It is kind of a rumor.
Okay.
Because I think that unless there's something on that map that I'm not seeing, it looks like it's like Guatemala or something.
Okay, that could be. Yeah, there's a communist insurgency there in the 80s, so could be.
I saw a special feature that just had the title of Central America pop up.
Yeah.
Vague enough.
What does Bill Duke say? If these guys are Central America, I'm Chinese or something.
Yeah, somebody uses a different word than Chinese.
I still don't really understand the premise, like what's going on, where they're like, oh, they're going to be across the border with weapons, like what border? Like I don't even, and who, they got Russians working for him? Like what was happening here?
Well,
it's a little confusing.
Yeah, it's a little confusing, but I feel like the Russians just also want to get the Predator.
Because, maybe.
Because we see in the opening shot of the film, which is something I always forget when I turn it on, I was like, oh yeah, just like the Thing. Oh yeah, this one starts with a spaceship landing, crashing on Earth. So I always feel like, oh, the Russians are there because they saw this on a satellite and they want to find out. And that's why the CIA is there, because they want to find out before the Russians do.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't thought about that.
It's very unclear whether or not they were actually there to take out weapons traffickers, or if they're actually there kind of like an alien thing where, like, you know, the companies actually sent them to pick up this alien. And it might be something like that. But I feel like they would have had a better chance knowing that they were going to be facing an alien.
Yeah. Maybe just tell them. Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you're like, oh, yeah, we got a rescue team in here, and actually we're hoping that they just secretly capture this alien, which is so fucking funny. Because even when they do the hole in the jungle scene, Dylan is shooting straight at it too. So it's like they're not trying to catch anything.
No.
So if they were told, if they'd been told to catch it, I don't think they'd been like fire every round they have at it.
I just interpreted it as some like CIA type stuff, like maybe like their Nicaraguan rebels are doing something and like they're coming from the commando team is coming from Honduras or whatever to like stop the flow of like communist insurgents from wherever. And I didn't interpret it as like them deliberately going after an alien, but I don't know. I mean, it's really not clear.
Well, you get the feeling because the opening scene, the spaceship launching its little eject hunting pod off and onto Earth. And the next thing you see is military equipment up the wazoo.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, they're here for the alien. That's like, it's natural to assume that. I just think that they probably shouldn't have even shown the Predator spaceship because it would be way more of a surprise. Also, you'd be like, I don't know. Is that alien? What the fuck is it?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
I guess I feel the same way about the thing.
Yeah. I think it's weird in both.
I agree with that. A bit more suspense if it wasn't a spaceship in the opening scene.
In Predator, it's sort of established that it's like right after, whereas in The Thing, we see The Thing crash land, but then we don't know how many years pass.
Yeah.
But it's still unnecessary.
So I would say one thing that is nice in Predator is that enough weird, wild shit is going on that you almost kind of forget about that opening.
Yes.
Until it shows back up. And you're like, oh yeah, that's right. That's what, there was a fucking spaceship at the beginning of this.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that I like in the sequel, like you don't even see that. In fact, you're just like, how did it even get here? Like, it doesn't even make sense.
Especially at the ending.
Yeah.
When you see like, how they got there. Sewer? Yeah. Yeah. Where did they park this thing? This thing is huge.
I assume that the spaceship has an invisibility cloak or something because otherwise it makes no sense.
Yeah.
It still kind of doesn't because you're like, okay, how did it get down there? You're like, I guess it parked under a bridge or something. I don't really know what's going on here.
In AVP, they do have cloaking. So,
yeah, I guess it
makes sense. And that's lore.
Yeah. They are attracted to places that are really hot and have a lot of conflict or the exact opposite. Yes.
What's fun in Predator 2 is really like the toyableness of it, where they're like, yeah, here's a bunch of cool gadgets it has now. He's basically Batman, and he's got all these cool things. Yeah, it's such a weird vibe to that movie. There's like a Hellraiser-ness to it when it's. You know, when the things like the net that's like cutting through people and stuff, you're like, what the hell, man? This is wild.
It's amazing.
And, famously, was like an X-rated movie, and they kept having to. I can't remember. I think it had the record of like, they sent it back like 200 times or something.
Oh,
to get,
wow!
They kept having to re-edit it.
Well, 17 times or something. 12.
Okay.
Oh. Not actually two, but it's still a lot.
It was a shit ton.
These movies are just about as gory as you could get for like a mainstream R-rated action movie at the time.
Yeah.
I think it's probably more violent than the X-rated cut of RoboCop myself, but that's just me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's got things going on that are just like, oh, God. You know, like there's skinned bodies like hanging from their ankles and things like that. You're like, this is something else.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird, though, is that when I was a kid, did not have nightmares at all, nothing. I just thought it was I just thought the movie was cool.
But yeah, nightmares about Shane Black's jokes.
Yeah. Yeah, the most X-rated thing in the movie is Shane Black's mouth. Jesus Christ, dude.
You know what's funny? I wrote this down because his first joke is like, I told my girlfriend I wanted a little pussy. And then she said, yeah, me too. Mine's as big as a house. But like the double meaning of little doesn't translate into Dutch. So the Dutch subtitles turn it into, I would like to see your pussy. Pussy, she said, you can call it the tiger.
Well, it's funny because the subtext of all his jokes are that he's got a little dick. And it's just like, and he's insecure about it. And it's just like, that's, if you just do that, I'm like, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
Tiger? Because you like pussy, completely change all of it.
Pussy is small and a tiger is big, so
they're keeping the cat, the feline aspect.
Yeah.
So don't have a word for little in Dutch. That's what I'm hearing here.
We do, but it doesn't have the double meaning that it has to make the joke work in English.
Okay.
I would like a little pussy.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha.
So they changed into something really stupid.
You know what's funny is that, like, the when he tells Billy the, you know,
the second joke
twice.
Yeah.
the thing that's funny is not even the joke. It's him explaining the joke. And he goes, you know, because of the echo.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's funny about it.
Yeah.
What's funny is that Sonny Landham then laughs only like 5 seconds later.
Yeah. Well, because like, he's like, he has to like think it over. He's like, yes, I love that he's like, he really wants Billy to break. That's what he, that's his, that character, Hawkins, his whole thing. It's like, I just need to see this big Indian dude laugh.
Yeah.
He probably like every day he's like thinking up jokes. He's like, I gotta think of something to make Billy laugh. Really, like, he scribbled down like 5 jokes that day. He's like, today's the day.
Yeah.
Have we mentioned the Alvin Silvestri? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, we have not talked about the Silvestri score, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's very
good. Yes. For both of these.
This and Back to the Future are like his masterpieces.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's probably my favorite composer simply because of those 5 movies.
Really?
And the fact that he did Predator 2 and Back to the Future 3 in the same year is just insane.
He's like the master of incidentals, you know, like those just, it's like not even a score so much as just a sound. That's what I love about him. He does like, you know, that kind of, like, ooh, and then he lets like this, the film have its space. So he'll just put like a little bit, or he'll just have like a one string in the background going, and you're like, that's fantastic.
Yeah. I also love how he's a bit of a protege of John Williams, I think. You can sort of hear it because there's parts in the Predator score that aren't scary or suspenseful at all, yet it still works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same as when you listen to the Jaws score, there's that famous then a different part of it almost sounds like a carnival.
Yeah.
And it still works.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Predator has that same quality.
When I love the they're doing shit music, where it's literally them just like walking through the woods, or when they're trying to build fortifications around their camp, and there's just this kind of going on, and you're like, this is awesome.
Yeah. And there's like a little chirping sound effect, not sound effect, but like chirping music going on that almost sounds like a predator talking. Well, that's what it sounds like to me a little bit, like a
yeah
something like that, that kind of like sounds like a predator talking.
If we have to imagine what they may maybe sound like when they talk.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me, at least.
Okay.
No, it's great. I love his score. This is one of my favorite soundtracks of all time, or not even soundtrack, I guess, just scores. But it,
for part
even
one,
though I yeah.
Okay.
Part two, I also like quite a bit. I think he mixes in those like these kind of like Jamaican sounds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As you would expect.
I think part one also has a bit of like the tribalistic drums sound.
Yeah,
I don't know how else to describe
it.
Yeah. Which, is that racist? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's cultural appropriation.
Yeah, or maybe they're just like, we're in the jungle. I don't know. There's
drums
in here. This is the first time I ever saw Carl Weathers in anything. And again, I was just like, this guy is awesome. He's hilarious. I think he kind of makes, if there's any like actual dramatic heft in the movie, it's because of his work in this. He's wonderful. And like, he's severely missed, I think. I think he should have been a bigger star.
Mm-hmm.
And this is definitely like, go watch Action Jackson after you watch Predator. And it's like, oh, like half the fucking crew went and made this movie, including some of the decent bit of the cast.
And Craig Baxley, right? Yeah.
Yeah, what I'm saying. Yeah, it's Craig Baxley. And it's like, oh, and you can tell. And you're like, oh, there's Sonny Landham. What the hell? What's going on here? and there's actually posters of Predator in the background in one scene, so.
Oh. Well, you say he's sorely missed because he's dead.
Yes.
But I feel like he was never except for Action Jackson, never really given a proper action movie to headline.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like he was missed when he was alive than now that he's dead, I think.
That's
that
makes true. Sense. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think he was passed over way too much. I think he started getting a little bit more credit, honestly, in his older years, which is weird, because he was always awesome.
Yeah, too bad.
Yep. But what do you think about Danny Glover taking over for Arnold?
I
fucking love him.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to not love Danny Glover. It really mm-hmm. is. He's fantastic. And even in, I was Witness, where he's like the bad guy. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, don't make him the bad guy. I love him.
I love his performance in Predator too, because it's different from his like Roger Murtaugh performance in the Lethal Weapon series. He's like, he's Martin Riggs now. He's like the loose cannon cop who's like going over the top to shoot up all the bad guys. And he's so macho. It's just, it's different than your typical Danny Glover performance. And I think that's what makes it work.
I think it's very interesting because he is sort of like, it's like he's assumed some of that Martin Riggs in there, but he also is very much in the vein of a Murtaugh. You know, he even has like a line of like when he's talking to himself and stuff on the ledge, and he's, I think he even says, I'm too old for this shit. I think he even said that. I don't even remember. But
I don't think he does, but it wouldn't have been out of place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just remember him, like, he's like climbing, and he, I can't remember what he's saying to himself. He's saying all kinds of weird shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he gets to call the Predator a pussy face.
Yeah. He's listening to Shane Black a bit too much.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I think he's a very good choice, because if they'd just gone with another Arnold type, it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, well, apparently, from what I understand is that Arnold was supposed to, the role that Gary Busey plays was written for Arnold.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he even has a line where he says, guess who's back, you know, which is supposed to be like a reference, but it doesn't really work because it's not Arnold.
Yeah.
he just says it to the Predator, and you're like, Predator doesn't know who the fuck you are.
Well,
even if it was Arnold, he wouldn't know, because that Predator is dead.
Yeah. This was Gary Busey's first movie after his motorcycle accident, so maybe he's just referring to, hey, I'm Gary Busey, I'm back.
Yeah.
I love Gary Busey, but one of my big criticisms of Predator 2 is they don't really let him cook. It's kind of a restrained performance for Gary Busey for the most part, by his standards. So as he's not like... He's
still holding his brain in.
So. Yeah! they don't let him like explore the space as much as he usually does.
Yeah. They let Adam Baldwin, they let him say lines that I think don't really work. I think that maybe they should have let Gary Busey say that or something, but you know, like that. Who the fuck are you, Keys? And he's like, the last person in the world you want to mess with or something. And it's like, okay, dude, you're like a freaking black hole charisma. But weirdly enough, I was like, I think he got better. I remember he's on Firefly, and I really liked him on that. But it's like, he should have been, like, they should have made a sequel with him now. It's like, because they set it up at the end of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Who will?
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the animated Predator thing that came out a little bit ago?
No.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, at the very end, they kind of tease that Harrigan and Dutch are going to like team up or something.
Okay.
But so, Harrigan is dead. Oh, wait, no. Sorry. Yeah, Harrigan is Danny Glover. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, in real life, he's not dead. So technically do it. And Arnold's not dead yet either, so...
Yeah.
So they in animated form, they can show up and do something.
Mm-hmm.
Or even find the voices that. Live of, action.
They'll just have the voices of 80-year-old men and be like, sure. Just like the Indiana Jones movie. And you're like, wow, that's great. Until he talks and you're like, oh, he sounds like he's old though. He looks great. Unnecessary. But anyways, it's animated, so they can do whatever.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good. You might like it. Michael Biehn shows up. You're like, oh, this is pretty cool.
And it's from the guy who did Prey and whose Predator Badlands is coming out real soon.
Yeah. It doesn't.
Dan Trachtenberg?
That doesn't look like my thing, but I'll be like, whatever.
I've avoided any and all materials. I want to see it. As blindly as possible.
Yeah.
That's probably the best move. Although it did bite me when I watched AVP, so. Most of the time I recommend going into a movie blind, but AVP was like a disaster for me, so I don't know. No, but Predator 2, I think it's like just the opening scene with all the action. So it's like cops versus these coked out drug lords. And I'm like, this is outstanding. I love all that so much. Just a fantastic action sequence that is wild as hell. And it really, like, it comes close, if not. Yeah, I put it on par with the Village Raid in the first movie because it's praise. So cool. Yeah.
I love how this movie is constantly bordering on self-parody and going too far, but it's somehow, because it plays it so fucking straight, it just pulls it off.
Oh, it's wild. What's they hotbox Danny Glover on the way to meet the voodoo king in the fucking alleyway, and you're just like, what is this? It's so wild. And then there's the Predator, you know, rips the dude, somebody's spine out and has their skull attached, and then raises their scimitar in the air and gets struck by lightning. You're like, what in the fuck are they thinking?
what about the nerdy business guy in the subway?
Oh god, that's amazing. Yeah.
Oh yeah, he pulls like one of those like memes, like call an ambulance but not for me. He does the meme right there.
Well, it's amazing. And then the great scene, because it's all built for like the purpose of, oh, the Predator slaughters a subway full of people, and they're like, they were alarmed. Like, yeah, I guess so. But that's like weirdly prescient, because it's kind of America.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild to think that anybody would even try that. You're like, yeah, I'm going to pull a gun on somebody in the subway. And you're like, taking your life in your own hands there. But it does happen. So I just, you know, earlier this year, some crazy dude stabbed a chick on a bus. So it's like, all right.
If only Stallone had been on that bus.
Yes.
Specialist callback.
Yeah. Throw the Predator through the window. Yeah. Now we can leave.
Yeah. I hate late trains. Yeah. And Morton Downey Jr. appears in Predator 2 as himself.
Yeah, dude.
That scumbag guy. Oh,
well,
guy. Lovable hate guy.
He has a different name, but it's sort of himself, Hope.
Yeah, that's another thing about the sequel, is that you think that the cast in the first one can't be topped, but holy shit, they do such a good job. Just like little role. Robert Davi's in this movie for like 3 seconds. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah,
he's totally wasted. You know,
like, yeah, but it's just like what I'm saying is like the cast, like how, it's wild the people they get. Bill Paxton is amazing. MVP, yes, me. Mm-hmm. He's so good in this.
The most Bill Paxton he's ever been.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like, got.
Yeah, just.
Sorry, go ahead.
Turn the camera on and let him go.
Yeah. It does feel like that, yeah.
That's my speciality. You know, the whole time. It's great. I love him. This.
And he got Steve Kahan.
Yeah.
The guy from the Lethal Weapon series. Was he like Richard Donner's cousin or something? I don't know.
Something's going on. Maybe he and Danny Glover are friends. I don't know.
No, I think he was related to Richard Donner. And that's why he's in all the Richard Donner movies. Okay. But he pops up in this one as well.
Yeah, there's like this vibe in this movie where, like, this is the first one is sort of like, let's put an alien against Arnold Schwarzenegger in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. And this is sort of like, let's put an alien in a Lethal Weapon movie.
Oh.
Like, there's this like aspect to it. And it's weird because the first one's the one with Shane Black. And this one is not. And you're like, but it has like those vibes a little bit. So it's like, but it's also like this twisted version of what a Lethal Weapon movie is, because instead of like Christmas, it's just like searing hot, everybody's sweating all the time, and it's very fucking weird. But Bill Paxton talks like a Shane Black character. It's weird that those two didn't like team up.
And it's, well, also, I do like, oh sorry, go ahead.
So I watched this with Stephen Hopkins' director's commentary, and he was like, yeah, we just gave everybody hats because we thought if it's really hot, people would wear hats.
I noticed that. They're all wearing like these old-timey hats the whole time.
Yeah. It's set in the future. It was released in 1990, and it's set in 97 mm-hmm. for some reason.
Yeah.
But they also deliberately had like all 70s cars in the background, in the foreground, and whatever.
Well, it has that thing that Demolition Man did too, where it's like, oh, they expect the immediate future to be a nightmarish, violent hellscape.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why. Well, I guess I do. The crime rates had kind of peaked by 1990.
Yeah.
But it was just like, I don't know. They really were like, it's just going to get so much worse. My favorite intro of that type is Demolition Man, where it just goes like L.A. 1999 or some shit. And it's like the Hollywood signs on fire and all this. You're just like, yeah, okay. Wesley Snipes has taken over. Nobody's doing taxes. It's just crazy.
It always makes me think of that Scary Movie 4 joke. 3. Like, this is Detroit. And this is Detroit after the attack. Do you know that joke?
Yeah. It's kind of what they're doing, actually.
Yeah. But there's a lot of talent on screen, but behind the scenes, holy shit. You got Mark Goldblatt editing.
Yeah. Greatest action editor of all time.
Yeah. And we get the production designer from Blade Runner, Larry Paul.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Like, holy shit. And then Stephen Hopkins. He hadn't done a lot at this point, but he's great too.
Yeah, he did like the, I think the 5th Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
Yeah, 5th or 4th. I always mix them up.
Yeah. Well, it's like they, you know, Rennie Harlan came out of that as well. And it's very interesting because it's like these guys that kind of do action coming out of her. It's like they come in and they don't seem to have like the limitations you would expect. And so every time there's action, it's just like very violent. So you're like, there's this, and it has to be that they come from her. But I always think that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's mostly just because, Bob Shea, who ran New Line Cinema and the Nightmare on Elm Street series, just a cheap bastard. So everybody was like, they can work on a tight budget. Let's get them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think the budget was pretty tight on this one. I mean, it was a huge budget, but like, holy shit. If you look at what they have to do, fucking hell.
Mm-hmm. Well, he really uses the space very well. Like, you would not know that this is a lower budget movie. Is he like, you know, think of like the scenes where he's chasing the predator and he's like running across the tops of the vehicles and stuff. Like, there's all these, like, it just gives this vibe of like the open city.
Yeah.
Shit, even him getting struck by lightning, which is, I just don't know why they did that, because it's such a such a stupid thing. But it's like, okay, whatever, man, do it. But that, it works, but it makes the movie just feel bigger and much more open than the first one.
Yeah.
Which is very like compact. Like, even though McTiernan talks about how they were like cutting away the jungle and stuff all the time to try and give a depth field and things to the in distance, like draw distance when you're looking out in a way, because it's like, oh, it's so thick that they couldn't see, like, so they would go out for like 40 yards and just be hacking away at the jungle. And it still doesn't really work. It still looks, everything looks like they're like in a 10-foot space all the time.
Yeah.
Till maybe like when he's running away from the explosion at the end, you're like, yeah, I guess he can kind of see. He did run some distance.
Especially after
the explosion. When they finally got rid of all the trees.
Yes. Thank God. I like how the sequel is set in a concrete jungle, the open city, yet it still remains that, it keeps that claustrophobic sort of suspense feeling.
Well, you always feel like the character is being watched.
Yes.
That's a really cool thing that he does. They keep that from the first one.
Yeah.
One of my issues with Predators is that I don't feel that way in that movie or Prey. Because you never really feel like the hunt is always on. But the first two movies, it's definitely there.
Yeah.
Also, I got to say a shout out to probably the best transition of all time.
The Screaming Heads.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I love that.
I think it's between that and the Jeff Goldblum yawn in The Lost World, Trust Part 2. So those two transitions are fucking amazing. But this one, I laugh every time because it's
amazing. Okay. I enjoy Predator 2, but I'm always disappointed by the Jamaican characters because I can understand what they're saying. I want it to be like Marked for Death, which was released the same year, where I can't understand a damn word they're saying. It's like, why can't I understand you? I don't know. I guess this was just the year of the Jamaican panic in the United States. And Marked for Death is so damn good.
That's such a weird thing that it happened. I can't believe that's a real thing.
Yeah.
People were genuinely like, the Jamaicans are going to come take over our streets. The scaremongering that we have to deal with on the daily in this country is so fucking ridiculous.
Yes.
I'm just not scared of anything anymore. You're like, I'm gonna try again. I grew up with the Jamaicans drug scare. You're not getting me.
How did you survive that?
Yeah. Well, it's gotta be because, Hopkins grew up partly in Jamaica. I think he was born there. And even though he grew up there, the U.S. and England, I think. And it's like...
I think he also started out working in Australia. So I don't know exactly where he grew up and when.
But man of the world.
Yeah. but Jamaica as well, yeah.
Yeah, so is Jamaica... I guess I haven't looked into it, but I'm... You listen to his commentary. Does he bring up like why Jamaicans? Is it because of that?
I think I remember him saying just because it was a big deal at the time.
Yeah,
like that's
well, it that, was,
and it's set in the future. So if that's what people are afraid of now, it's in the future. He does talk about how it, somehow because it's set in the future, there's more Latinos in LA. If that makes sense.
it made sense
when he said it on the commentary.
Well, it made sense until like the last 6 months. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't know. He didn't know that in another few decades, they were going to go crazy and do ice raids everywhere.
Yeah.
But we'll see. See how that stands. Maybe they'll push Latinos out and the Jamaicans will come in and.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God, please don't let Donald Trump know about the existence of Jamaica. Please
don't
let this happen. No.
That's what they do. They're always showing him footage of the beginning of Demolition Man and the beginning of Predator 2. Like, that's Portland. That's Portland right now. You have to do something, Mr. President.
Stephen Miller, you bastard. Why do you have to ruin our 80s and 90s action movies for us?
Predator in the White House coming soon.
Yeah.
Well, there is a Predator in the White House actually, but different kind of Predator.
Yes. And you are now no longer allowed to enter the United States.
Wasn't planning to, so.
It's okay. We're coming to you guys.
Yeah. We'll set up a refugee camp for all of you. It'll be fine.
Appreciate it. We're going to need it. Speaking of that parody bit, though, the other thing that I think about in this movie is, like, it always stands out as the old lady.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, what the hell?
Herb, wake up.
It's the action climax of the entire movie. And she's, like, running around with a broom. I like this movie, but I don't know if that was the right choice.
Well, it's so... Like, it's just like randomly funny at times. And you're like, this is like something that would be in a comic book.
Well, you know, actually, like... Stephen Hopkins on the commentary says there's two things that Joel Silver always does. Joel Silver, the producer. One, there's going to be a helicopter in a Joel Silver movie. And two, in the middle of an action scene, we're going to go into a normal person's home.
Ooh.
So I guess that's Joe Silver's fault.
I mean, it's not that bad, but I don't know. It's like the action climax of the film, and there's comic relief going left and right. Maybe not left and right, but it's, I don't know, it's a questionable decision.
I just think this scene is funny. Though it does.
Well, it is funny, like, but
it just does feel like it's, this is L.A. and they bring like a Jewish New Yorker lady in the movie.
Yeah, just threw it in there.
Yeah.
She looks like somebody that'd be in Death Wish 3, like Charles Bronson's apartment complex.
Yeah. Well, the subway scene is like a parody of a Death Wish.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's bigger than yours! You know this thing,
right? Well, I can still shoot mine, so...
Yeah. I love that bit, but it is just like... It really does feel like this is like a parody of a movie itself. Like, even regardless of a Predator movie, it's like, what the fuck? But he does call him Pussyface, and then I don't know, when he's shooting the Predator, he shoots him like a million times with a shotgun, and it's like all in slow motion and stuff, and you're just like, goddamn. But that's this movie for you. It's sort of all over the place. It is like a fever dream, half remembered, of a Predator movie. Everything in this movie, though, I think is, it is thought out well, I think. It's like, that stuff is like, it's goofy as hell, but it's like, you just think about like, okay, well, there's people living here, right, that aren't like psychos. And sure enough, and there's this old lady, you know, that kind of thing. The intro where it's like, this fake out where you're looking at the jungle and then it like pans up and you're looking at the city.
Yes.
Like these kind of things. I'm like, oh, this is like the whole movie, I think, is like, it's kind of like, oh, it's clever. Like they're thinking all these, it's that's an easy gag, and they pull it off.
Yeah.
A lot of like sexual energy in this movie too, I think.
Not as much as in the first one.
Yeah. Well, it's a different kind of sexual energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you said, by the way, when you said that you could understand what the Jamaicans were saying, when I was a kid, I did not know what they were saying at all. And I remember that there's a part where one dude's like, they want to take your soul. King Willy believes this. King Willy, you know what I believe? Shit happens. I could not understand what he said there. I was like, did he just say shit apples?
It's more understandable than it is in Marked for Death. That's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah.
There is a line in, I think, in Predator 2 when he says something like, he's ghosting us.
Yeah.
And I always heard, he's ghost nuts.
And you're like, oh my God, what is that?
What the fuck is that?
Sounds like a terrible illness.
Yeah. Was this future slang in 1990? I don't know.
He's ghost nuts.
Yeah.
I think it's a callback. Bill Duke says something along the lines in the first movie like that.
Ooh. Or maybe I think I misheard it in the first one.
Yeah. Then. Okay. Yeah. It's Bill Duke saying it to Carl Weathers. He ghosted us, motherfucker.
Yeah. He's ghost nuts. What the fuck?
Carl Weathers is over there going, I'm not ghost nuts.
That's my least favorite cereal.
Yeah.
I was wearing a tie earlier. I'm not ghost nuts. Yeah.
I think it's funny that you mentioned Full Metal Jacket and Adam Baldwin, Brenton.
Yeah.
Because Adam Baldwin was in Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, he plays Animal. Yeah.
And Stephen Hopkins very much enjoyed all the Kubrick stories on set.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Fun fact also, then, to wrap around, is that Kubrick wanted Arnold Schwarzenegger for that role
in Full Metal Jacket. Out.
Yeah.
But what? Arnold didn't want to
do all, he didn't want to do a small role, didn't want to do ensemble, and it's like, oh, man. That would have been cool, though.
I would or have not. Love to know how Arnold would have handled having to do 100 takes.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Arnold's supposedly a super perfectionist, though, so he probably would have been into it.
Yeah, but he's just super perfectionist, but also I think he thinks he gets it right on the first take.
Maybe.
That's perfection. We're moving
the
on.
The Eastwood rule.
Yeah.
We're going on. Come on, little man. We're done here.
My favorite bit of trivia from the commentary track was he says that Maria Conchita Alonso, to prepare for a role, was paired with a lady cop working for the LAPD who did black magic murders only. That was her only thing, apparently.
What?
And it's just insane that there was apparently so much quote-unquote black magic murder going on in L.A. in the late 80s that they had at least one cop on it full-time.
I'm thinking it's more like, can you give Jessica some work that isn't real? I don't know. Why don't you go investigate our black magic murderers? She's like, I'm night and day. I can't find these guys.
They're ghost
walking
nuts.
Walking the streets for weeks, haven't found any clues for these black magic. That's what that sounds like to me.
Yeah, yeah,
totally
could also be
real.
But I do like at the end, if we're going to go into spoilers, like how the Predators, they respect Danny Glover at the end and they kind of let him live. And I think that's a nice touch.
Yeah, it's. I think that whole thing's interesting. But also, like, what's he supposed to do with, like, the old musket? Like,
yeah.
Like, here you go. And then he's like, by the way, we're, like, leaving.
You killed one of us, yeah.
But I love his attitude at the end of that when he kills the Predator there. And then all the other ones show up and he's like, just drops things like, all right, who's next?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is also the one point in the movie where I feel like the VFX aren't great, because you can see that they're clearly not actually walking through the fog.
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah.
But all the other VFX in this movie are insanely good. Mm-hmm. Like, how in 1990 did they even manage to do this shit?
Well, it's one of those things, the Predator effect, I think, in modern movies, I'm like, did you guys like forget how to do that or something? Because it looked amazing in those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I always think of the scene in the first one where you're kind of looking through the Predator at Arnold. Like it bends, like it warps his image when he's like hiding on the tree. And it's like, that's kind of cool. And then you watch these, like the modern ones, and you're like, this, you know, and even in Prey, you're like, this kind of doesn't really work. Also love that they kept this weird thing where it kind of glitches in water, the cloaking effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, he's just like walking through the mud puddle or whatever in the alley. And it's like, oh, it's still glitching. And then you see his reflection. And I'm like, that's just a cool shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
While I do prefer the first, oh, go ahead.
Well, it's like, oh, this is like a very thoughtfully crafted film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes. Visually quite stunning, honestly, most of the time.
Yeah. They sort of gave it like a yellow sheen or something. There's a lot of like yellow light bouncing off everywhere because they wanted to look like a Western, sort of.
That's the second reason for the hats. I always thought that was just like a quirk of the characters. I was like, oh, when you get to like, when you make detective or something, they let you put on a hat. I don't know. It's just like, but no, I guess, yeah, apparently it's because it's hot. I don't know. That's my.
Yeah.
You know, like when you get really hot, you put more clothes on.
Yeah.
Put on a full suit.
You put on the widest pair of pants you can find.
Yeah. Oh my God, the pants. Holy cow, the pants in this. What is
worse,
Danny Glover?
Worse than in Metropolis. And it looks ridiculous, but he pulls it off.
Yeah.
I love his look in this movie.
It's amazing.
Yeah, but also ridiculous.
I do wonder how well that Jamaican drug dealer fared against the Predator. Like, do you think he got a hit off? Or do you think he just grabbed his arm and was like, no, I'm taking your head off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't think he had much of a chance.
Okay. Yeah.
I always think in the beginning of the movie, so Danny Glover points the gun at the predator and it freezes. It's like, oh shit. You know. So to some extent, it seems to be aware that bullets will hurt it.
Mm-hmm.
But then he full-on shoots, I don't know, 8 or 9 shots or something into him with a shotgun, point blank, and in his guts and his chest, and it does not kill him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's like, have some consistency. But I love Danny Glover's guns and all their illogical scopes, and you're like, okay.
The future.
Yeah.
Whenever he shoots that dude in the beginning, when he does the, he saves the cops or whatever, but he shoots through his own car. Like, he takes this chunk out of the door, and I think about that a lot. It's like, that was cool.
Yeah.
Just like, that's the thing that John Woo always understood, which is like, when you're shooting guns, the bullets got to go somewhere. They got to, things have to break around you. And this is another one of those movies that understands that. And I'm like, yes, perfect. That's why the action is excellent in this.
Oh, yeah. A very, very nearly over the top.
Yes.
Which actually, in part one, it was also close to being over the top.
Yep.
But I do in part one, where all the explosions caused by the predators, guns and bombs have lots of sparks in them, whereas the human explosions are more just like fireballs.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
I like how there's even a distinction between the explosions.
Well, the ending of the first one is just like a big, when he turns the tables, basically, because they do that thing in the beginning of the movie, they're talking about they were firing in all directions. And then at the end, when he ambushes it, and it's freaking out and it's screaming and it's literally firing in every direction, and it's just like a fireworks show.
Yeah. Just
sparks everywhere. Like, that's amazing.
Gorgeous shot also.
Yeah.
And also that this super, intergalactic super killer can't kill, a ferret. Oh,
yeah. Well, I think it's... I don't know if he wanted to kill it, though, right? I think that what he was trying to do was scare it out. He thought that he was... That it was Arnold, maybe, hiding under a log or something.
Yeah, that's how I read it.
Yeah. At that point, he's been chasing him. He's like, no, if he's hiding somewhere, I'm going to find him. I'll smoke him out, so to speak.
Yeah.
There's in general, I think when you watch these, there's a logic to everything that the Predator's doing.
Yes.
Even though the Predator really is just a fucking trophy hunter. He's just a cheating little trophy hunting piece of shit. he takes his mask off and he's like, I'll fight you. It's like, yeah, you would fight the guy that's 2 feet shorter than you. And
yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, let's do this hand to hand. Yeah. Easy for you to say.
Yeah. These guys who've been in the jungle for 2 days without food and water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now he's got no weapons and he's just desperate. Yeah.
This is a fair fight, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like hunting in real life.
Yeah.
Well, even the second one, it's even more so. My God, what has he got? He's got a net that can cut through skin. He's got the little crazy disc thing. He's got throwing star type things and a retractable spear that shoots little things out. And it's like, you fucking cheating bastard.
Yeah. But we've got Danny Glover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like how he identifies Danny Glover as the peak predator of the LA ecosystem. Oh, that Danny Glover guy, he must be the peak badass here. That makes me laugh.
Yeah.
One of the things I like in this one, it's since the mystery of it's gone, mm-hmm. we know what it is.
Yeah.
Now they can just pile on lore, but you see what the predator is doing. He's watching all that chaos below, and then he's like, oh, that guy is fucking doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I love that. And they do that in Prey as well, where he's watching these different animals. He's looking at the ecosystem, basically. Who's at the top of the food chain?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Then he goes and fights a bear. That's sweet.
Yeah.
That guy, I think, that particular predator, I'm like, okay, that one is a tad more honorable if he thinks he can fight a bear.
Also implied to be the same one as the one at the end of Predator 2, because he gives Danny Glover the gun. Yeah.
Brandon, did you watch Prey?
No, I haven't seen it yet, but do want to watch it, though. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, a woman, I hate it, but I just haven't seen it. You know, I'll get to it someday.
Yeah. Well, do. I'm trying to remember the name of the other Predator show was, the animated one, but it's good.
Killer of Killers?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh. The movie, not the show? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of stories.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's like an anthology?
Yeah. Okay. So, like, there's a dude that's a World War II fighter pilot. You know, that's one of them, and they're trying to figure out how to deal with the Predator ship that's like fighting them. I'm like, that stuff like that. It's like a whole bunch of these interesting little stories. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. There's one that's like a Viking mother and her son, and you know, it's just like a bunch of that kind of stuff.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know when they're gonna make more of them, but I hope they do, because they do end it on like, now we're gonna have Schwarzenegger and Glover come back. Which may or may not be real. I don't know.
Well, if they pay Schwarzenegger enough, he'll do any nostalgia bait movie.
Yeah. Well, he did. He recorded a whole bunch of audio for the Predator game. Came out a while ago. Oh, and so if you really want to know what Dutch has been up to, he recorded all these like tapes that you can find. And I tried playing it and I didn't like the game. So I just went on YouTube and found all the... And just listen to all the tapes. But I thought it was interesting. But I'm sure they'll just throw that all away for whatever the world they're doing for this Killer of Killers sequel. Mm. Yeah, Predator is just a fun, interesting concept, and I think they could do a lot with it. Predators actually kind of explores a lot of things you would probably like to see. There's like a dude that's like a... He's got like a samurai sword. I think he's a Yakuza guy. He is going to go fight a predator in that one.
Kind of goes the obvious route, but it's still good.
Yeah. Basically, what are they supposed to be like on a game preserve planet? And then the predators hunt them there. I don't know. It's kind of vague, but it's good. Good enough.
Yeah.
Supposedly... They were going to have that movie end with... They've always tried to do this, but every time they've had to rewrite it at the last minute because it doesn't work because Arnold won't be involved. But supposedly, even in that one, they were going to have Arnold show up at the very end of the movie.
Mm.
Like, he was going to land in a Predator ship and talk to the survivors or something. And then again, when Shane Black did the sequel, they created something called a Predator Killer or something. And then supposedly they were going to open this thing up and it was going to be Arnold inside. They just keep like, yeah, they kept trying to do it. And then Arnold every time was like, no.
I'll do another crap Terminator movie instead.
Yeah. I think he just likes Terminator more. I think that his memories of Predator probably aren't good.
Well, he was the one who wasn't shitting his guts out, so. Yeah. I don't see why.
He's like, everyone around me was just shitting all the time. It was terrible, smelled terrible. I hate it.
Poor Bill.
I got married. I wasn't allowed to bang my maid yet. I don't know what his deal is. I'm sure he's got his reasons. But whatever. He was at least in one really good movie like that. And so, you know, props to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Predator 1. It's... two of my favorite things, a big muscle dude action movie and a slasher movie combined.
Mm-hmm.
And it somehow works perfectly. And Predator 2 is one of the most underrated sequels of all time.
Yeah.
I fucking love that one too.
Yeah, I would say Predator 2 is only slightly not as good as the first one. And it's just because the first one just is very unique and the second one isn't. But it's so solid as a movie that you could watch either one of these in absence of the other, and you're like, oh, they're very good.
Mm-hmm. I think if Predator 2 hadn't been a sequel to one of the greatest movies of all time, it would have been a classic.
Yeah. I think it's I've watched over the last couple decades, people grow to appreciate it more. Like, its standing has definitely grown, and I'm happy to see that. But it would have been awesome if it had been a hit out the gate.
Yeah. We maybe would have seen a part 3.
Yeah.
In the 90s. Yeah,
we might have got a good part 3, but who knows.
Yeah. Predator, I enjoy. I more than enjoy it. I love it, but not as quite as much as the consensus, because I do feel it kind of slows down towards the end, especially after the scene where Arnold tells Anna, you know, to get to the helicopter. After that, it kind of slows down for me, but I still love the movie. I love, like, especially the stuff in the first act, like the raid on the village and the helicopter ride and the character introductions. And Predator 2, even though I don't like it quite as much, it probably does a better job of distributing its memorable moments throughout the runtime, in my opinion, you know, than Predator, which kind of front loads the movie a little bit. But Predator 2, it's got some good stuff, like, all throughout the entire runtime, so that's good.
Fair.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, when he tells Anna to go to the chopper, why in the world, and I've always wondered this, why do people cling to that line so much? I do not get it. Like, I don't even see why that's funny. I don't see, like, especially in the moment of the scene, I'm like, I don't get it.
But it's also weird because there's so many great lines in the movie.
Yeah,
like, but why isn't "If it bleeds, we can kill it" the one that they keep copying?
Yeah, or even "Ain't got time to bleed" and, you know, stuff like that. Which, by the way, I'm like, is that? Yeah, I always wondered, by the way, if the "Ain't got time to bleed" is like, is that meant to be foreshadowing because his wound is cauterized and he doesn't bleed, you know?
Ooh.
Could be,
yeah.
And Shane Black, you're like, okay, so he's talking about pussy a lot. He dies chasing the woman. I don't know.
And Dylan gives the iconic high five and he gets his arm shot off.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
I'm just probably looking for connections now that aren't
there. Yeah. It has, like, Bill Duke uses his brain. He loses his mind, both literally and figuratively.
Yeah. He's always shaving, and then in the end, his brains get shaven out or something.
No. Second thought, this doesn't work.
Yeah. One more thing that I always think is funny about the first movie is after the compound scene, they're like, "We found the second hostage. He was shot by the helicopter." There's always this part of my brain that goes, "Yeah, you probably did that."
Well, yeah, because the helicopter never gets off the ground.
They said, "You found the other hostages. They're dead too." And I'm like, "Yeah, you probably blew them up."
Yeah. It's a miracle you found the lady alive.
Well, we watched one dude get shot by Sven Ole Thorsen.
Yes.
So then you're just like, okay, what was happening here? It still doesn't even make sense. And then, but then they don't know where they are. They don't know where the hostages are being kept. And he immediately sends an unstoppable vehicle through a building with a satchel charge in the back, and then starts throwing grenades and like, everything's blowing up everywhere. Yeah, and you're like, this is wild. Like, you have not established parameter. You don't know where your targets are. And they just go fucking crazy and kill everyone, everything that moves. And then they're like, yeah, we're a rescue team. What do you expect? You know?
Yeah. Oh, one of them died? How is that possible?
And the save the cat moment is like Arnold saying, we're not an assassination team. And that they go in and they assassinate, like, all the hostages. So it's just
all of Central America dead.
Yeah.
It's too hot for a chopper. I remember saying that. I'm like, what does that mean? But I think what they're saying is that place is about to be swarmed by, yeah,
yes,
like, mm-hmm, a counterattack.
Mm-hmm. They actually say that, like, explicitly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have to get back across the border or something. Yeah. But they can only do it one way, one specific way. That's not the same as how they came in.
Yes.
Yeah. Makes sense. Got it.
Total sense. Billy's like, oh, don't go that way. And they're like, well, yeah, we have to. That's what he says. Basically, he says, he says something weird. He goes, I wouldn't waste that trip on a broke dick dog or something like that. What does that mean? I've never even heard this expression. Oh, well.
Yeah. Anything to say in closing?
Yes. Go watch these because yes, they're excellent. If you haven't already seen it, and if you are trepidatious about the sequel, don't be. Go watch that fucking thing. Predator 2 rules. In fact, go watch more Stephen Hopkins stuff. He's great. Go watch Ghost in the Darkness. It's amazing.
Go watch Nightmare on Elm Street 5.
Yeah. Not as amazing, but still good.
Yeah.
Don't watch Lost in Space. But yeah.
There's also 4 connections to Miami Vice in the first Predator movie, but unfortunately, we've run out of time, so we can't.
Sorry, Stein.
Yeah. All right. If you like this podcast, give us a like, give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the podcast, check out the website, alloutofbubblegum.com, join our Discord, maybe check out the Patreon, and we'll see you next week.
All right, see you then.
See you all later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I tell you what I believe. Shit happens.
What, shit?
Sometimes.
But if they're Central American, I'm a goddamn Chinaman.
You're not Chinese.